Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dawn.
This minute begins with Sarah getting her assignment and ends with Ethan asking for a cappuccino machine because he doesn't know what to call this crappy coffee.
Now, wasn't he just drinking or eating, chewing on gum? So maybe the coffee is crappy because of the gum that he was chewing on? I mean, seriously.
Well, I don't know what Tom Cruise is going for. He's kind of like spy maverick in this right now.
Yeah, definitely.
He's definitely maverick.
Definitely maverick.
I mean, we've all had the benefit of seeing all the other movies. This is not the character Ethan turns into, which is great. I think at this point, they literally were just, he was just trying something he'd done before.
It must have been the first, one of the first things they shot. And Emilio Estevez is obviously being his goose in this movie.
Mm-hmm. In this scene, since Chris pointed it out, and he is a genius, Kristen Scott Thomas is definitely not in this same scene with these guys.
Yeah, she's definitely there.
But possibly not actually in the same room still.
Oh, they're not. They're definitely not in the same room. Or they would have shot it together.
Yeah, they would have shot it wider.
She is standing in front of a red curtain and a lamp in a very close shot, which says to me, we need to redress something in the studio to look like this other set we had before. Because it's not even close. And then she talks to Jim Phelps, and Jim Phelps talks back to her, and neither of them are in frame together. And it's fantastic. If you watch it again at minute eight, you're like, what is going on? Why did they cut that scene? Something must have happened either in the shooting or, like Chris, like you said, all this was shot with duplicates.
Yeah.
That shot from behind, the coverage, they must have only had the coverage from the front and not from the back.
Yeah. Or maybe she was a last minute addition to the set, to the screen, because most of the scenes she's in, I don't think that she's got maybe one or two scenes with Tom Cruise and nobody else, I think. So,
Dawn, I think you're going to owe the writer an apology here when you hear the line that they say. She says, I haven't a thing to wear. And he says, Jim says, I'm sure you'll work it out. That's some A-plus writing.
A-plus writing. Incredible.
Oscar winning.
And you say they don't write good dialogue for women. I'm sorry.
We should keep the sexy lamp counter going on. Thus far, could she be a sexy lamp? Yes.
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 Every woman in the scene so far, and there are three of them, which is fantastic. All of them could be replaced by sexy lamps so far.
Yeah, you got sexy lamp count, or you can also have viable female character count, which it may never, that ticker
like,
may never
I
actually...
like sexy lamp count, personally.
Sexy lamp count will go higher than the other one.
It's hard to prove a negative, so let's do sexy lamp count. So that's three sexy lamp counts.
That's three sexy lamps.
Yep.
In this, Jim continues explaining the plan. He's telling that Jack will be on top of the elevator, and he's going to have access to the fingerprint security. And I'm sure that's the last we'll hear of that. Emilio Estevez will be just fine, and nothing will happen bad to him while he's on that elevator.
Yeah, he looks like he's happy about it.
Sounds like a pretty easy job. Didn't have to wear a tux. Sounds super easy, guys. That's the best part. He's almost a lookout. He's almost Claire.
Exactly. Only he's on an elevator, not in a car in a parking lot.
Well, cars are boring. Ooh, you can get robbed in a car. You're completely safe on top of an elevator.
Oh, yeah. Just ask John McClane.
I will say, in general, in the scene, I'm not really sure that anybody is truly necessary except for Tom Cruise and John Voight.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, we know hacker is a general enough term that we know we're going to need Emilio Estevez at some point for something electronic.
At some point for something, maybe,
but
not yet.
But, you know, couldn't he do it, like, from the safe house and not actually be at the embassy? I mean, with today's technology, obviously he could be, like, in the Sudan or somewhere else, like in Texas, and not have to be in Prague.
But where would be the fun in that? Because he couldn't travel to Prague.
He's no Simon Pegg, I'll just tell you that right now.
Who's Simon Pegg?
Shh. I've gone to the future, I've seen things.
And then as he wraps up, he says that they're going to be getting set up at 0400 and then explains what 0400 is.
That was really weird. And he also holds up his fingers. He holds up four fingers to say 0400, just in case you missed that, unless you thought it was something else.
Do trained CIA agents need that type of clarification?
Yes, apparently they do, because in one of the other movies, Anthony Hopkins does almost the exact same thing with the definition of a word. He explains it to Tom Cruise like Tom Cruise has never heard that word before. So we'll see
it's
that
It's not
later.
For Tom Cruise. No. You know who it's for? It's for those sexy lamps.
Yep, those sexy lamps.
John Voight is mansplaining.
What military time is.
What time is.
I actually like to think that maybe it was for the hacker's benefit. That's going to be my alternate reality.
he's still a military hacker. He probably went to West Point or something.
I mean, all the women can be military people too. They all work for the CIA. They're all spies. So we might as well assume that he's saying it for...
I think he's saying it for our benefit as an audience, maybe.
Yeah, it'd been better if John Voight had just looked at the audience and winked.
Broke the fourth wall. For you people in the audience not smart enough, that's military time. 4 o'clock.
Four, with my four fingers, just in case you missed that part.
In this scene in the script, it's completely different. At this point, Ethan and Jim have an aside, and they talk about Ethan's time off that he has coming up. And he talks about he has 167 days of leave, and he wants to take them because this job is starting to wear on him. And Jim Phelps pretty much says, if you don't do this job like any job, you'll just fade away and you'll burn out. Like, you have to keep working forever. Otherwise, the second you stop working, you'll burn out. It's a really weird script, and I love that they kept it out because...
That doesn't even make any sense.
I don't even know who the character is, so you can't tell me that he's already got time off and he's burned out, because I've only seen him do one thing in this movie so far. So he hasn't earned that right. Again, great job not doing it.
Yeah, I'm thinking somebody was like thinking, wait, we can't do that. It's a franchise. We got to keep him on here as long as possible.
And Jim also, he's also condescending to, I've already forgotten her name.
Hannah?
Yeah, I can't call her Lamp. That's not nice. Hannah.
Or Sarah.
Hannah. No, Hannah.
Hannah.
He's already given them their assignment, and then he tells Hannah again what her assignment is and then explains to her what she needs to do. You're a lookout. I need you to find a perch and stick to it. She's got it, man. This is the team that you pick normally. Kittredge picked you a team that he knows you've used before. So they know how to do their job.
Jim Phelps is just the man of his era, man. He's like from the 60s.
We're getting a lot of weird vibes from him.
Yeah, we are. I don't know.
I trust him, though. I got to say, I like him a lot. He seems like a real stand-up guy.
He gives me them creepy vibes with his, you know, like 30 years younger wife.
Spoiler for this, we never actually see her drive.
I'm surprised we didn't get an explanation as to what a cappuccino machine was for those in the audience that needed to know what 0400 was. A cappuccino machine.
I actually would like an explanation of the difference between a cappuccino and a latte and a macchiato from Fred Phelps.
And this was before the whole Starbucks thing, so people really didn't know coffee the way that we know coffee now. So
that's
true. Oh, I'm sure that they thought cappuccino was the fanciest thing in the world.
And again, I stand by my word that he was chewing gum in the scene previous to the minute previous to this. So that coffee's going to taste like crap no matter what.
True. Bubblegum flavored coffee.
Yeah.
And on that note.
That minute left a bad taste in our mouths, and it leaves a bad taste in Ethan's mouth.
And we leave you with chewing gum and coffee.
That's been Minute 8. Join us tomorrow for Minute 9. You can always talk to us on our Facebook group at Impossible Minute Force. And on Twitter at MinImpossible. And you can email us if you have any questions at MinuteImpossible@gmail.com. We'll see you tomorrow. I've been Jonathan.
I'm Don.
I'm Chris. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, I like that.